you for listening to this sermon from Arapahoe Road Baptist Church. We hope you enjoy the teaching of Dr. David Rogers, lead pastor of Arapahoe Road. For more information about our church and its ministries, please visit arapahoeroad.org. And now, here's Pastor David Rogers.
This is a no-brainer. We do exactly what Jesus said. We go into town, we find the donkey with its gold.
I just don't understand why Jesus wants us to commit a crime.
He wants us to steal a donkey.
No, no. Not steal, borrow.
Oh, so we're just supposed to stroll into town, untie the donkey,
and see exactly what he said to say.
What is it? Oh, that the Lord has need of it?
Yes, and we'll return it.
What does that even mean, the Lord has need of it?
It's self-explanatory. Why are you being so
me? Because you all know that I'm a rule follower of the bunch. I just don't know why Jesus just didn't ask Peter to do this.
I'm thinking the same thing.
This is so up Peter's alley. Steal the donkey, cause an uproar, that's his thing. Peter is the reason why banks chain their pens. Oh, I just don't want to go to jail. You know I hate one-ply toilet paper.
Lower your voice. Look, we're just going to do what Jesus says. What's the worst that can happen?
Oh, what's the worst that can happen? What's the worst that can happen? I don't know. A cracked rib, a busted lip, the kind of name-calling that'll put you in therapy years down the road.
Stop it! Stop whining! Stop talking! Stop everything! Stop freaking out!
I don't mean to be judgy here, but someone needs to get the log out of their own eye. You have trust issues. Serious trust issues.
You even know how many germs are in a jail cell, do you?
No, I don't. I'm sure it's a whole lot, okay? I don't know. And I don't know why Jesus wants us to get a donkey, and I don't know why people are gathering branches over here and lining the streets, but it just seems like there's something big is about to happen.
Wait a minute.
Yeah.
Go back. Why did you say I had trust issues?
Okay. Okay, let's make it about you.
What?
Think about it. Since we've been following him, we've seen him give sight to the blind. He's healed people with leprosy. He's raised people from the dead. From the dead? I can't even raise you from a nap. Hey, I think we can trust him with this donkey issue.
I just did. I have trust issues. I see how Jesus trusts the Father. He trusts so much, even more than the ground that I'm standing on. To trust someone like that, I just can't even imagine.
Yeah, but if you're going to trust someone, it's him.
Let's do it. We got this.
Huh?
You first.
Baby steps.
Hey, when we get there and we grab said donkey, maybe I really should lead like a Benjamin.
No.
A 20 spot?
No.
A thank you card?
Stop it.
All right, I'll trust him.
Matthew's gospel records the scene where these two disciples and the donkey are involved because Jesus just told them to go and get it, go and retrieve it, and then bring that donkey back to him. And these guys, they likely had no clue what it was that they were stepping into, what this simple task was about to really fulfill in this grand scheme of this story that God had been writing. However, they did something. They trusted Jesus. They went ahead and did it because Jesus knew what he was talking about. And they ended up just following through with what Jesus asked them to do. The scene unfolds in Matthew chapter 21. If you have a Bible, I invite you to open it. If you didn't bring one, there should be one in the row right in front of you. Matthew 21, if you're using that Bible in the pew there, is going to be on page 826. I'd love for you to follow along in the Bible. If you don't have a Bible of your own, when we're finished this morning, come see me and let me give you one. I'd love for every single person to have a Bible to take with them. Matthew 21, let's read this account of what took place on that day. It's called the triumphal entry. Matthew 21, beginning in verse 1, it says this. Now, when they drew near to Jerusalem and came to Bethphage, to the Mount of Olives, then Jesus sent two disciples, saying to them, "Go into the village in front of you, and immediately you will find a donkey tied and a colt with her. Untie them and bring them to me. And if anyone says anything to you, you shall say, 'The Lord needs them,' and he will send them at once." And this took place to fulfill what was spoken by the prophet, saying, "Say to the daughter of Zion, behold, your king is coming to you, humble and mounted on a donkey and on a colt, the foal of a beast of burden." The disciples went and did as Jesus had directed them. They brought the donkey and the colt, and they put on them their cloaks, and he sat on them. Most of the crowd spread their cloaks on the road, and others cut branches from the trees, and they spread them on the road. And the crowds that went before him and that followed him were shouting, "Hosanna to the Son of David! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord! Hosanna in the highest!" And when he entered Jerusalem, the whole city was stirred up, saying, "Who is this?" And the crowd said, "This is the prophet Jesus from Nazareth of Galilee." This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. We say that here at Arapahoe Road when we read from the Bible, because we understand the Bible to be the inspired words of God. And so while we may hear all kinds of words throughout our week, when we read from the Bible, we just pause at the end and we say, "This is the word of the Lord." And then we just respond, "Thanks be to God. Thank you, God, that you've given us something that's timeless, that's true, and that we can build our lives on." And so from this story, we see these two disciples, and we see this donkey that was brought to Jesus that played a part in this grand parade that was leading into Jerusalem. This parade and this day has been known throughout history as Palm Sunday. For my artists in the room, I want you to sketch me a picture of what you think that donkey looked like. What do you think he was thinking? What do you think his eyes were looking like when Jesus sat on him? And you could even draw Jesus on the back of him and riding into Jerusalem and the people waving their palm branches. Just draw me that scene. Sketch me that scene. And when you're done this morning on our way to the egg hunt, you can put it on the board out in the Home Life Center. I'd love to see what's going on in the minds of our artists here in the room this morning. I can tell you this, Jesus knew what he was doing when he was riding in, but I don't think these disciples had any idea. I don't think they fully understood this moment. They had no idea that in that moment, that their trust in Jesus and to follow through when Jesus said, "Go," he said that in verse 2, "Go." They didn't have any idea it would lead to this huge parade. On this day in Jerusalem, all that was going on inside the city on that day and what that parade then would lead to at the end of the week on the outside of this same city. This simple act of trusting Jesus by following through with what he said to do led to some significant moments. And we still remember those moments today. For over 2,000 years, followers of Jesus have remembered the significance of this day, Palm Sunday, as a time when the donkey really began to feel on that day the weight of carrying Jesus into Jerusalem, and it initiated the week that would then lead him to the cross on what's become known as Good Friday. in the week from today, leading to this day on the cross, just a few days later. That's become known as the Passion Week. Maybe you've seen that movie, The Passion of the Christ. It's talking about that week that led to Jesus going to the cross. This week began with a palm parade and a celebration, and it would end in a horrible event at the end of the week when he hung on the cross in an ultimate act of trust. An ultimate act of trust. You go, why was that an ultimate act of trust? Because we'll see in just a moment, and we'll read and we'll hear what Jesus said. It's an ultimate act of trust of what Jesus does in that moment as he puts his life into the hands of his heavenly Father. As Jesus was carrying the weight of the world and all of eternity on his shoulders as he bore that cross, the very last words that we have recorded in the Bible that Jesus spoke from the cross, man, they just had a huge echo, a magnificent efficacy that just continues to echo and will echo throughout all eternity. And those words, we read them in Luke chapter 23 and verse 46. If you're looking in the Bible in the row in front of you, it's on page 884 if you want to see exactly on the page of Scripture what he says. It'll also be on the screen. And here's what Jesus says in Luke 23, 46. Then Jesus, calling out with a loud voice, said, "Father, into your hands I commit my spirit." And then it says he breathed his last breath. See, when Jesus said those last words from the cross, and he breathed his final breath, it was as if a fuse got lit on a stick of dynamite. And that stick of dynamite was about to explode. And it was about to blow the kingdom of darkness to smithereens. When Jesus did what he did, and when he said what he said on the cross, he trusted that everything that he had come from heaven to earth to live and to die for, he trusted all of that into the hands of his heavenly Father. Jesus, trusting his life and his death into the hands of his Father, that would make a way for you. It would make a way for me. It would make a way for the whole world to be in great hands throughout the rest of eternity, if we make the choice to trust in God in the same way. So if I was to summarize my whole sermon today in just one sentence, this would be my sermon in a sentence, and it'll be on the screen. It all has to do with whose hands you're putting your life into with full trust. Can we just take an out loud note together and just say this together, make this declaration together on three? One, two, three. It all has to do with whose hands you are putting your life into with full trust. You see, Jesus' final words from the cross, those were words that were expressing full trust. Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands, I commit my spirit. When he said those words, that was a moment of trust when all of the results of what then would happen next were put into the hands of somebody else. A scene of trust. When I think of a scene of trust, what comes to my mind is one of the favorite scenes from one of my favorite movies. It's about a basketball team in Indiana. Has anybody seen this movie? It came out in the 80s. It's called Hoosiers. Has anybody not seen that movie? If you haven't seen that movie, Statute of Limitations have run out. I'm fixing to spoil it for you, okay? But it's still worth watching. When it comes on TV, man, I watch it every single time because it's a story, it's based on a true story about this little high school back in the 50s from Hickory, Indiana. And in Indiana, basketball is king, particularly high school basketball is king. And in the story, Gene Hackman is this coach that gets hired at this little bitty rural town of Hickory to coach basketball, and they make it all the way to the finals. And in Indiana basketball, little bitty schools play the big schools. It's just you've got one state championship, or at least you did back in the day. And there's this one kid on the team. He was the Steph Curry of the 1950s, at least in the movie. And his name is Jimmy Chipwood. What a great name, Jimmy Chipwood. And Jimmy Chipwood never misses a shot. And they make it all the way to the state championship game. They get there at the end of the game. They're down one, and they steal the ball at the end of the game on this full court press. And then they call timeout. They're down one. And they gather over in the huddle, and they're like, okay, coach, what are we going to do? What's the play going to be here? We've got a chance to win state. What are we going to do? And Gene Hackman, the coach of the team, says, all right, Jimmy, we're going to use you as a decoy. We're going to get the ball over here, and everybody's going to come to you, but somebody else is going to take the shot. And everybody just kind of goes, oh. He's like, guys, what's the matter? And Jimmy just goes, coach, I'll make it. I think it's the only line he had the whole movie. Coach, I'll make it. And everybody's like, that's a better play. But I mean, I love you. You're a teammate over here. But I trust Jimmy. Jimmy puts the ball in the hole when Jimmy gets the ball in his hands. So as much as we love you, and as much as we think this is an interesting play, that's a politically correct way to say, this is a stupid play. Get the ball to Jimmy. Get the ball in his hands and let him get at the top of the key as the clock is winding down, and let him shoot the rock and let it go in, and let us win the state championship once and for all. They did not have any trust in the success of the play that the coach drew up. But then when Jimmy said, coach, I'll make it, everybody's like, oh yeah, we got trust in Jimmy. Because you see, when the game was on the line, they wanted the ball in Jimmy's hands because that's who they trusted. And they broke the huddle, went out. He gets the ball, top of the key. Clock is winding down. 3, 2, 1, bang, splash, championship. Everybody goes crazy because they trusted Jimmy to make the shot. And it just comes back to that sermon in a sentence. It all has to do with whose hands you are putting your life into with full trust. And when Jesus was completing his part of the rescue mission of saving the world from sin, death, Satan, and hell, it was time to trust his Father. It was time to put the ball into his Heavenly Father's hands for the rest. Because you see, after Jesus did all that he could do by coming from heaven to earth, being born of a virgin, that's what we sing about at Christmas time, yeah? Being born of a virgin 33 years earlier, living a completely sinless life. After the scripture says he was tempted in every single way, just like you and I are. I mean, think about that. He never slipped a peek at an inappropriate sight. He never cheated on his taxes. He never fudged on the truth. He never had one too many in college and got a DWI. He never lied to his parents. He never did anything that would have disqualified him from being the perfect, sinless sacrifice on the cross. The one who would be worthy to make a final payment of all of our sin that separates us from holy God. Sin is anything we do, say, or think that God doesn't want us to do, say, or think. and any sin separates us from a holy God. And Jesus says, I'll do it. I'll go from heaven to earth. I'll run that play. But at the end of the day, it's into your hands that I'm going to commit my spirit. Jesus puts all full trust, what he did on the cross, into the hands of his heavenly Father. I mean, think about that. After Jesus went to the cross on that Friday, and he hung there for 6 hours, starting at 9 a.m., ending about 3 p.m., he trusted his heavenly Father, and he transferred all trust into his hands when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And he breathed his last breath. In that moment, what Jesus did was put the proverbial ball into the hands of his Father. Why? Because he had full confidence that his heavenly Father would make the shot that counts. Not only to win eternity for every single person who puts his or her faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, but also he trusted that his heavenly Father wouldn't let his body decay in a tomb. Think about that. That's what we also celebrate a week from today on Easter Sunday. That he wasn't still dead and rotting in a tomb, but that he came back to life. Yes? Yes. Yes. See, I don't think Jesus ever would have gone to the cross if he didn't have full trust concerning the sure-handedness of his heavenly Father. It all has to do with whose hands you are putting your life into with full trust. And Jesus had full confidence and trust that when he would breathe his last breath on the cross, that his heavenly Father would not drop the ball. God the Father would not drop the ball. See, on the cross, Jesus puts humanity's salvation play that would rescue all people from sin, death, Satan, and hell into motion when he cries out, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. The play's in motion. And he breathes his last breath. Interesting last words of Jesus from the cross. Before we wrap up, let me just tell you a little bit about those words, because they may have a connection to you and how you grew up. See, those last words that Jesus spoke, Jesus actually, when he said, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit, he's actually quoting a prayer with those last words on the cross that Jewish people would say at the end of their day. It was kind of part of their bedtime prayer that became famous and became regularly used as a prayer that King David actually penned when he was on the run from a guy who was king at the time named King Saul. And King Saul was after King David. And David, before he became king, he writes these words in Psalm 31 verse 5. He says, into your hand I commit my spirit. You have redeemed me, O Lord, faithful God. It goes on to say in verse 15, my times are in your what? In your hand. Rescue me from the hand of my enemies and from my persecutors. Make your face shine on your servant. Save me in your steadfast love. Simple and trusting words. Into your hand I commit my spirit. Those were the words that Jewish people began to incorporate into their evening prayers, their bedtime prayers on a daily basis. They were the words that were prayed not to start the day, but rather to end the day. You see, first century Jews had this thing about making sure that when they went to sleep, they were in good hands, because they're going to be in this unconscious state of sleeping, and while they're sleeping, they wanted to just pray that they would be in good hands and in good standing with God above. They wanted to make sure that the last things that they said to God had them in a right place with Him as they laid down and went to sleep. So in a sense, that first century Jewish prayer and the prayer that Jesus ended on the cross praying are very similar to the prayers that many moms and dads and grandparents may have taught their kids to pray. Did you learn this prayer? Now I lay me down to sleep. Say it with me. I pray the Lord my soul to keep. And if I die before I wake, I pray the Lord my soul to take. Another way to say that is, Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. Into your hands I commit my spirit. See, Jesus was putting the ball into his Father's hands. He was pushing all of his chips into the middle of the table based on the kind of hand that his Father had and was going to play, that was going to raise him back from the dead 3 days later. Jesus laid down his life into his Father's hands. Why? Because it all has to do with whose hands you are putting your life into with full trust. Let me just ask you one question to think about as we wrap up. Here's the question for us all today. Whose hands are you putting your life into with full trust today? Whose hands are you putting your life into with full trust today? Jesus laid down his life and put it right into the middle of his Father's hands. And his Father brought him back to life on the third day, which is that first Easter Sunday morning. It's what we'll celebrate next Sunday together. And today, if you are a follower of Jesus and you've already made that decision to put your life, to put your faith, hope, and trust in what Jesus did on the cross into the hands of God with full trust, you know what he wants you to do? He doesn't want you just to take your ball and go home. He wants you to pass it on. He wants you to advance the story. Tell somebody else. Who's your one? If there was one person on this planet that you know needs to know where to put your life, whose hands to put your life, who's your one person that you would tell? Would you tell that person this week? Would you invite that person to come back next week to celebrate Easter? Maybe you're going, man, I don't know all the stuff to say. But bring them with you next week. We're going to tell the story. We're going to tell the first words from Easter after Jesus said the last words from the cross. Who's your one? Who's your one? Now, if you've never put your faith, hope, and trust in Jesus, there's never been that point in your life. Maybe you've heard this story before, or maybe this is your very first time to ever hear this, and you're going, man, I've kind of trusted in me. I was reading in Psalm 43 this morning, and it just said, man, if you trust in yourself, it's not going to end well. It's not going to end well. And if you take long enough to think about it, you go, yeah, I kind of, there's a few things that I'd kind of like a do-over on. I'd like to draw up a new play on that thing and this thing and that and this. Where I am today is because of some good choices and some not so good choices. So if there's somebody that can hit every shot, let me put the ball in that person's hand. His name is Jesus. His name is Jesus. And you can trust him and you can trust the Father in heaven.
Thank you for listening to our podcast. Feel free to distribute this recording, but please do not sell or alter it in any way. For more information about Arapahoe Road Baptist Church, please visit our website at arapahoeroad.org. Arapahoe Road Baptist Church is located at 2256 Arapahoe Road in Garland, Texas, with Sunday morning worship service at 10:45 a.m. We hope you'll join us this week.